Today, on the Basketball Manitoba podcast, we have Naya Becker. She attended Vincent Massey Collegiate before transferring to the OSBA in Ontario. She represented the Manitoba provincial team, claiming 2 bronze medals for the province. She played her college basketball at Utah for 3 seasons, and then played her senior season times 2 because of COVID at Wake Forest. She's represented the Canadian national team at various stages since the age of 16. Currently, she's playing her first year professionally in Slovenia. Naya, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Naya. So we're just going to jump right into this. I've known you, since you were since you were a baby. Yeah. For a long, long time. I've seen you kind of, been following you, obviously. You're a member of the basketball community for a long time now. So it's super, super cool to see you playing professionally in another country. So congratulations for that. This is your first year, right?
Yeah, my first year here.
And how's everything so far? How's it? It's Slovenia you're playing in. And had you been there before, or is this like first time in that country?
Yeah, first time. I never heard of Slovenia before I got here. So it was new experience, but I like it. Europe is really cool and the city's really pretty. So I love it.
Nice, nice. I was telling you offline that I'd been there in the summertime and it was like a really nice, very nice city, very nice country. I remember when I landed there, I forget where we came from, but it was kind of like when I landed in Vancouver, like the air was fresh. I was like, oh, the air is fresh here. It seems very nice. like a lot of like nature and just seems like a very nice place.
Yeah, super clean. Yeah, it's really nice. Yeah.
What about food? Tell me about the food. Do you enjoy the food there?
Not really.
Be honest.
It's honest. I don't really like the food. I've tried some like the specialties or like the, I'm not really a fan, but it's mostly kind of from what I've had, it's like stews or like lots of like meat or like schnitzel type of meats, but they're always deep and I don't really like it as much, but
so a lot of deep fried stuff.
Yeah, but okay. I like the like breakfast foods are really good. Like breakfast food, like universally, is pretty good. So
yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's very true. What about like making friends and stuff? Like obviously you have your teammates. I think people. Mm-hmm. What I remember of people in Slovenia, like quite a few people speak English generally. Am I mistaken from that?
Yeah, it's more of like the younger people. People around like my age or like. Older, they are pretty good, but it's more like kind of like the older people that don't speak English as much.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Everyone's nice. I mean,
what about your teammates? Do they speak English, all of them?
Yeah, my whole team speaks English. The coaches speak English. So there hasn't been like a bad language barrier, which is really nice. And yeah, people are friendly. It's pretty good.
So tell me one thing that you, you had no idea, you've never been to Slovenia, but one thing that you're like, oh, wow, that surprised you about the country. That you didn't expect?
The street lights. Usually like I'm used to like
what?
Yeah, it's weird, but it's I noticed
tell
it
me
when
more.
I noticed it when I started driving here a little bit, but the street lights are like on the same side of like the street where you stop. They're not like on the opposite side of the intersection.
You mean like the stop? Okay, I thought you meant like the big, like the nighttime. I got you. Like with the stoplights for
the stoplights. Yeah. So like when I'm driving, I'm like the first one, I can't even see the lights because they're like above me.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
It's a little worrisome, but I got used to it.
Yeah. That makes sense. Are you the only, how many people from outside of the country are on your team?
There's like 4.
Really?
Kind of. Yeah, there's a lot. Really 3 because one kind of got her Slovenian citizenship and she's been living there, but she's from Nigeria.
Okay.
And then aside from me, there's an import this year from Brazil and another one from Bosnia.
Oh wow. So it's a pretty international team. Brazil, like that's Nigeria, Brazil, Canada, and then the rest are Slovenian.
Yeah, the rest are all Slovenian, but it's nice. It's nice to have like a lot of diversity on the team.
Yeah, for sure. And then I asked you this offline too, because I don't really know about the leagues, but like you play domestically and then you also play against the other countries in the region. What's the name of the league called that you play in, or the 2 leagues?
Yeah, the local one is the Slovenian league, and then mm-hmm. the one with other countries is called WABA, and it's just like Bosnia, Serbia, Croatia, surrounding countries.
Okay. I think the former, pretty much the former Yugoslavia.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Well, you know, it's funny. I was going to say, like, you know, obviously I know your family very well. You know, we obviously just, again, basketball community and everything. But I was about to ask you, like, do you miss your family? But then I was like, well, you've played every single year away from home. So, yeah. but like, typically you're in, like, you know, like a collegiate setting, or like you're in North America. So, like, does this feel any different with regard to, like, missing your family at all? Or is it just kind of like, no, just another basketball experience?
No, this one definitely felt pretty different just because of the time change. Like, I feel like even when I'm free to talk, like, outside of practices and games, like, everyone that I, like, talk to is, like, sleeping or, like, just waking up. So it was an adjustment at first to get used to because I felt, like, lonely. I was like, I have no one to talk to. But true. I got used to it. And then I started doing other things and, like, making friends with my teammates. So it got, and then I, got a schedule of, like, when people are free, and then kind of fit it around what I do.
Nice. Cool. Okay. So I always start the podcast, I mean, like, when we dig in, because now I want to kind of dig into your story. Kind of how you got started and how you ended up where you are now. All right. I've interviewed people on the podcast who are, you know, complete, like, they've been in the game for 50 years. They've coached, they've done their playing and all that. And I've interviewed other people like yourself who are like, oh, it's my first, second, third year pro, or they're still in college in some cases. And so for you, obviously, you know, we hope that you have a lot more basketball to play. And, like, in 5 years, you've played in this country, that country, all that good stuff. But that all started somewhere, right? So, you know, without maybe knowing the answer already to this, you know, tell me about your first basketball memories. Like, what are some of the first things you remember about the game, getting involved and playing?
Well, I started really young just because my dad was, like, always around basketball. And the earliest memory I have is, like, I was five, and, like, every Saturday my dad would take, it started with me. And then when I had siblings, like, all of us, every Saturday we would go to the U of M, and we would, like, dribble around. Like, I was five, so, like, just, like, dribble around the squash ball courts or the racquetball courts. And then he would, like, tape up these, like, rectangles and triangles on the wall, and, like, I would work on the passing and, like, trying to hit the target. And then we would go down to the track when it was, like, the Gritty Grotto. Throwback. And we would, like, run around the, we would, like, do, like, a workout, like, I don't even know. I wasn't doing weights, obviously, but, like, we would do some sort of, like, track workout, and then we would, like, do, like, sprinting around the track, and, like, my dad would always chase us. So, like, when it was just me, I would just run, and then me and Tana, and, like, Tana would get a head start, my sister, and then, like, I would go after her and try and chase her, and then my dad would come after us and, like, lap us, but, like, try and chase us. And then when Kai came, it was, like, Kai, Tana, me, and then my dad.
Nice.
And then we would finish it off and go swimming. And that was, like, every Saturday for us. And it was so fun. Nice. And then we went to McDonald's after. That was, like, that's how he got us. He was like, and then we'll go to McDonald's.
Well, it's, again, I didn't, you know, I knew you'd say your dad obviously was a big part of it. And shout out to Dan, who I actually, we haven't interviewed him for the podcast yet, but surprisingly enough, you're getting interviewed before your dad. This is amazing. You could tell him.
This is so great.
Like, yeah. And I just thought about that. But I would, so back then, like, I had just finished playing, because when were you born again? What's your birthday?
October 14th, 2000.
Yes, exactly. Okay. So in 2000. Perfect. So yeah. So I remember this is like exactly it. Cause you would come by, and your dad would come by Frank Kenny all the time, but I just finished playing, and I had, like, a part-time job, like, at the desk, and he would come by and you guys would go in.
I remember seeing you, actually. Yeah. You jogged my memory.
Yeah. And, like, your dad would come and talk to me, and obviously when you guys weren't there, but, like, when you guys were there too, he'd, you know, talk to everyone. That's what your dad does. But I remember that. I literally remember you guys coming in. So, and then from that point, like, I mean, those are some of your first memories. When do you actually remember, like, playing? Like, that's just like, hey, we're having fun type stuff. Like, when do you actually remember, like, playing basketball? Do you play community club? Like, what do you remember from that?
So I started when I was eight, and I did the LWCC. And I remember, like,
shout out Linda Woods.
It was a struggle to get me to play that, because, like, I was really shy in the sense that, like, I didn't like putting myself, like, out in new situations where I didn't know anybody. So, like, I was, like, not trying to be on that team. I did not want to play on it. And then I, like, met friends. And I think I had a friend, like, my best friend growing up who lived, like, two blocks away, Jillian Duncan. She played at UW. I found out she was even on the team, and then I was like, okay, sign me up. And then
Nice.
from there, it was great. It was like the best times. And I think I played LWCC for like all the age groups, I guess, until it ends. I don't
Yeah.
remember, but best
Well,
times.
for sure. And then, like, but back then, I'm trying to think, like, because I'm guessing, like, your dad coached, right? Most of the teams, or
Yeah,
whether,
he did.
yeah. What, but were you younger when you played? Like, did he put you in? Because I think a lot of times, like, the first
Yeah.
professional, the first competitive year where you actually play games and stuff is that 8, 9 year old age. So I don't know if you
Yeah.
were like a little younger, or do you remember?
I don't remember. I probably was younger because I feel like I've always played up whenever I could. But yeah, I remember the first year like was the 8-year-olds group. So I don't know if I was 8 or 7, but it was around that time.
So the question is, do you remember being good or were you bad? What do you remember?
I remember like not really like focusing on anything. Like I was just there to have a good time with my friends. Like it was really hard to get, it was hard to get me to stay on the baseline and like do stuff. And I remember we did like we recorded our practice one time and I watched it back a couple years ago and like I was not doing anything. I was talking to Jill, like we were laughing and like not listening. And then my dad's like, Naya, get on the baseline. So I don't think I was good. I was just having fun.
Well, I think that you're, are you talking about the one like that's actually on YouTube and it's like Lyndon Woods
Yes.
practice?
Yeah.
Yes, that,
Yeah, that one. I was not doing anything. And when I was like skipping half the steps just to finish it.
Making your dad proud, I'm sure.
Yeah. A model child.
Exactly. And now you're out here playing pro, so clearly, you fell in love with the game a little, just a little bit, a little bit.
Yeah,
So
so.
when did you start liking it? Like when was like that when you're like, hey, like I actually like this, when you stopped just, looking into the clouds or talking to your friends?
Yeah. I don't remember like exactly when I started liking it because I feel like I've always combined like liking basketball with like liking hanging out with my friends and being on the team with like all my friends made me like basketball. So I don't really remember like the difference when I was like, oh, I love basketball. I was like, I love hanging out with my friends and like I get to see them every day at practice and then we play games. So I feel like that was kind of what got me to really love basketball.
It was like the trick. It's like, hey, all my friends are here. This is
Yeah.
great. We're just gonna play, have a good time. Well, I mean,
Yeah.
again, I've mentioned your father a few times. Now, when it comes to basketball, I typically ask like, hey, who are some of your early mentors? So I will ask this, assuming that your dad is obviously one of your biggest mentors in basketball. But adding to him, and you can talk about him as well, but maybe talk about some of your other mentors that you've had, and they can be later on. It doesn't have to be when you were young, just generally in the game. And then also just like in life, you know what I mean? Whether it's other family members or stuff like that, just t some of the people who supported you kind of along the path.
Yeah, aside from my dad, who, yeah, I feel like he's been a really big part of just kind of getting me to where I'm at and like supporting me. Another big one is definitely Michelle Sung now. I always like want to say Michelle Hines because like when I first knew her, it was Michelle Hines. But yeah, I feel like she's definitely supported me since I was really young. And just even when I come back home when I was in university in the summers, like I would always work out with her and she would always like text me or like support and watch my games and like always talk to me. And yeah, I love her kids. I always hang out with her kids and Eric. So I feel like just growing up, she's been someone that I definitely can like rely on to give me like good insight and like I can trust her.
For
So that
sure.
was definitely, yeah, that's definitely another big basketball mentor. And I feel like Randy, I feel like growing up, like I was always coached by Randy too. And yeah, he's always been like a really positive like coach to me, like growing up. Like I don't think I've ever like seen him be negative like in my entire life. So definitely having that was like really beneficial, just like going through mistakes in basketball and like growing and just having like a like consistent coach like that in my life was really good.
For sure.
Who else? I don't want to like forget people, but like there's been so many people that have really helped me. And even if it's been like for like 1 year with like provincial team or like Amy Ogadan, she was my 15U coach. And I feel like now that like I'm not like a player, like even just like seeing her around and like kind of being friends with her now, it's cool to like go from like coach to friends. Yeah, like Alyssa and Mike and 17U. I feel like there's been so many coaches. Like the basketball community is like really like tight knit, and I feel like growing up through everyone was like a great like progress for me.
Well, you're definitely integrated, like I started off by saying, in the community. They're very involved. What were, again, I gotta, this one's for your dad. Okay, this is a direct question from you, because I'm actually curious. Okay, so like, I'll just say straight up. So like, it's always an interesting relationship between like a child and a parent when the child goes down a similar path as the parent. You know what I mean? And so there's like the dynamic is just interesting, right? And I know he's always been there to support you, and like I've been, you know, anyone who doesn't know, like we worked, Dan and I worked in the same office. So like I've been on, like he's talking to you on the phone, and you're like, I'm like, oh, who's it? It's not Naya talking to Naya, right? I don't know what you're saying, but I can hear what he's saying, and you're talking about whatever, like just basketball stuff or life. And so I know he's been like that big part of that. But I say all that just to say, tell me one or two things, or just the main thing that you think you've learned that from that relationship, because he's been mentoring you, but like if you could take away like one thing that's been super valuable and kind of getting to where you've gone, what do you think that thing would be? And it can be like mental, it'd be skill, just whatever. Just, is there something that stands out?
Definitely, I would say trying to play like good basketball, like finding the open player, like whether it be like CBS, which I learned growing up, just like moving the ball, finding the right shot, like not trying to like do too much individually. Just to like play good basketball. I feel like growing up, like I had the good fundamentals, learning those from him. And I feel like even now, like sometimes when I'm playing it, like you see like the difference of like different fundamentals and like being taught different ways to play. So I'm definitely grateful for that from him. Yeah, I feel like that's a lot of what he taught me, and just playing the right basketball. And it could be a crutch sometimes because I've often been called like too nice, or like I pass too much. So I'll blame him too for that. But
Exactly. Yeah. The good with the bad. You got to take the good with the
yeah,
bad.
exactly. But yeah, it's still like a learning thing. It's a learning curve. But yeah, that's the biggest takeaway, I would say.
That's pretty spot on. That's pretty spot on. I can confirm that. Like, I agree with that for sure. Like, that's something that even I know for sure. Okay, so obviously, you know, you said you were playing with your friends and that was a good time, but at some point, like it became more serious. You started mentioning some of your provincial team coaches, right? You obviously, I think you played in the Canada Games. You obviously played in Nationals. You know, you've played on like the, you've done some stuff when you were 16 with the Canadian national team. So like, at what point do you remember like it being way less about like just being with your friends and it being like, oh man, this is like serious? Do you remember that kind of when that shift took place?
I don't remember the shift, but like maybe looking back now, I could probably say that towards like when I started playing club basketball, I feel like that's when it was more serious, because it wasn't just like me and the community girls. Like I was like trying out for, I was trying out for like a team, and like we were going to be playing in a different league. And that's kind of where it separated, where people who chose to continue playing basketball would like try out for teams rather than like just, people's parents putting their kids in like community club for a game on Saturday.
Where'd you play club ball? Do you remember the team?
I started with Magic for the first couple of years, and then I played CP before it was tapped.
And then it became CB. Yes. I remember those days. And then after that, you ended up going to Massey, where you played for 2 years, 10, 11.
10 and 11.
What do you remember about those years?
Not
Besides
a
your
lot.
friends.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I always remember my friends.
I could tell.
I don't really remember a lot, actually, because I feel like I always like change places so frequently that I just like a lot of it is just like hidden in the back memory. But I do remember my first year. I was playing with Keelan Filovich,
Shout
and
out.
yeah, shout out Key. I remember that was so fun. Like I was like the youngest person on the team, and I was like the goofy kid, but it was fun to play up and play with like the seniors. I had a great time, and I don't remember how we did. I don't really remember, actually. I know we didn't win, unfortunately. I
I'm
don't
sure, but you
think.
guys were good. I remember that.
We were
You can't
good. We
have
were good.
you guys were good for
Yeah.
sure.
So that was fun. And Yeah, all the seniors. I feel like I love playing with the seniors and like the juniors as they're rising. Like I remember Taylor Clayson, who's always like so much fun to hang out with and be around. And then Winley Trail. I just remember some of the seniors. Like I just remember having so much fun. I always remember the fun. Yeah.
I could tell. I could tell. We
Yeah.
know why you're playing basketball. It's like, I'm here to have
Yes.
fun, okay?
Here to make friends and have fun.
It's good though. You know what though? It's so interesting that you say that because like, there's obviously your personality is going to be a big part of like how you experience things, right? Obviously.
Yeah.
But like someone like you can say, "Hey, like I'm going to compete hard. I'm going to play at a high level. I'm going to do all those things, but I'm going to have fun doing it." Where I've met people, I've interviewed them, and I won't say any of their names, but like, I ask them about like their best basketball memory, and they're like bringing up like the time they lost. I'm like, "What's wrong with you? Like,
That's
that's not."
sad.
I was like, "What?" And so I know if I ask you that, you're not going to bring up, "Well, like, we lost this really close game in the final." Like, you'd be like, "No, like, hey, it's probably something with your friends." And so I do admire that, like, just the freeness of it all, right? Like, because I know you still are serious about it, but the fact that you're like, "No, I'm going to have fun. I'm going to meet people while I'm here," and that's a big part of it, because you'll know this, you know this already, actually, just by being yourself, being who you are. Some of the when I talk to some of the legends, and some of the people who have been around for a long time, they always say the same thing. It's like, it's actually not about basketball, right? It's about the people. And you already know that from the day one, since you were playing
5-year-old
eight-year-old
Naya,
basketball. Yeah, you
I
already
was onto
knew.
something.
You already knew.
Yeah.
So no, I love that. I love that. So obviously you were at Massey, but you, as I said in the intro there, like you transferred and you went on and played in Ontario. What like
Yeah.
is that a I don't know much about that. Is that kind of like a prep league?
Yeah, so it was like prep league that was just starting. I think when I went, it was the second year of
Okay.
OSBA. And yeah, I think I had already committed to university at Utah, and
Okay.
I just went there because like like playing provincial team, you play against like the best people of Ontario, and like Ontario usually wins. And then with the national team, like I knew where I was at basketball wise, like I matched up with those players, so I really wanted to like play there, play against them, and like kind of compete at that level. And then also just to get ready for university because I lived alone that year as well.
So you got a little bit of taste of living alone, and then the competition level. So that was the main reasons why you went. So then you said you already got recruited to Utah. I want to ask you about that because, like, obviously, I want the story. I want the whole story. So, like, what do you remember about like who else was recruiting you? What other visits did you go on? And then why did you choose Utah in the end? So who else was recruiting you? First question. That you remember at least. You're like, I don't remember.
I really don't. I have a book 'cause like I'm a memory person, so like I've kept all like my recruitment letters and everything. And I remember like I tried to categorize it by alphabet and I put them all like and I labeled it. So there was like a lot of schools. It was a lot of Power Five, like pretty much majority of the Power Fives. But Utah was the only school that I visited, actually, like
Really?
officially. Yeah, I went on an unofficial to Iowa State. I feel like
Okay.
Canadians always, it's always Iowa State and Utah. Like, because I know the same happened with Emily Potter. Like, it was Iowa State and Utah. And
That's
then
so
Bridget
interesting.
Carlton, yeah, she went to Iowa State. But I went on unofficial at Iowa State because we had a lot of tournaments with like CP and AAU in Iowa. And I really loved it. I loved it. And that's when Bridget was still there. So she was kind of my host a little bit, even though I was only there for a day. And then I think later, like the next year or in the same year, I took my official to Utah and I committed on the official visit.
Really? So did you know before like, I might commit, or it's just like you must have had a relationship with like how long were they recruiting you for, I guess the bigger question, like pretty much right from the jump?
Yeah, I don't remember. I don't, because I remember Arizona was my first Pac-12 school or the first Pac-12 school that offered me. But then right after that, it was like Utah as well. But I feel like the difference just was like, I felt like I connected more with the staff or I got to know the staff a lot better. And I feel like they did a really good job of recruiting me. Like they were really like showing me their personality. And I learned a lot about their program and it just felt more comfortable, like natural, and like where I felt like I should go.
Yeah. And what was Emily still there in your first year, or did she
No, I never
left?
played with her. Yeah, she was a senior, and then the
Yes.
next year she was gone and I was there.
Got it. But there was like a few Canadians that played on that team with you, no?
Yeah, so I
Like
played with
how?
Denisha Provo, from Nova Scotia, and then there was Mo Morin Corbin, who is from Quebec. Incoming freshman with me was Andrea Torres, who is still my best friend today.
Shout
She's
out.
from Quebec, yeah. And then the next year, I think not my freshman year, but the next year, we got another Quebec transfer in, Julie Brosseau. So we had a
Okay.
lot of Canadians. We had
I was
like
gonna
four or
say,
five. Yeah, we had
that's
a whole
crazy.
starting lineup. We could have started a whole Canadian lineup.
That's crazy. The coach was that had the Canadian pipeline.
Yeah, they
Good
recruited
pipeline.
heavy in Canada.
Yeah, no kidding. So where is what city is Utah in? Like
Salt Lake
the
City,
it is in Salt. It's
capital.
in Salt Lake.
Yeah, it was like it's like right in the middle of the city, so it's
Really?
like it's a city campus. Yeah.
Wow. Interesting. So are you a Mormon now?
The more like Mormon, like the very strict Mormon part is more like in Provo where like BYU is. So like Salt Lake City is more like chill.
Just okay. Nice. I had to ask. I had to
Yeah.
ask. No, that's tell me the difference between it's not my world, so I hear it all the time. The official versus unofficial. What's like the visits?
So unofficial is kind of like you have to pay to get there. Like they can't put you in a hotel. They can't like, yeah, they can't buy your meals. Like they can't buy anything.
They
So,
can't
and it's,
host you, essentially.
yeah. So it's basically you're there for like a day kind of, and it's more just like touring the place, seeing everything. But then officials, when they like do it big, they like take you to the fancy restaurants. They take you wherever. Like I remember I went to Topgolf with like the team, and then they took me to ice cream and then we're just hanging out. But yeah, that's where they spend the big money.
Nice. That's cool. Okay, that makes sense. That totally makes sense. So then, like, I gotta ask, you're wearing the Wake Forest shirt now. Obviously, COVID happens.
Yeah.
You're one of the, I don't know, want to say thousands, I guess, or hundreds or whatever it was, of people who transferred. Like, it's like
Yeah.
everyone's like, yeah, I'm just gonna, why not? Everyone just like went somewhere. So tell me, I guess, maybe talk a little bit about COVID and kind of like going through it, and then why you decided to transfer.
Yeah. COVID was weird, but it was actually fun too because I didn't go home. I stayed and it was just, I lived with my bestie, Andrea Torres, and we lived in a house at that point. So, and school was online, so we didn't play. It was great. I did not do anything. And we would go on like outdoor adventures. Like we would go hiking because Utah has great mountains. So like we were still doing stuff while social distancing and like staying safe. But basically, I think if I remember correctly, we just didn't play. We didn't play that year. We practiced when it started to become safe, but like we practiced with masks on. So I was dying.
That was
But
crazy.
yeah, so everything was just so chill, like classes online. Everything just, you got to do whatever you wanted. So that was fine. And I think, so my third year when I played, I was a junior. I think we had gotten like a new freshman in, and I think we started to change the way we played, like our style of play. And it was just kind of going away from like how I played or like what I was like good at. So like I wasn't really playing how I played. I was trying to like fit a system that didn't really play how I played anymore. And in like the outcome was just kind of like I wasn't like happy, I guess. Like I wasn't playing how I, or I didn't get to play how I normally played, or like what I got to do, like it just wasn't fun for me anymore. And I feel like, 'cause like I always, like we talked about earlier, like I always loved like hanging out with my friends and like I loved having fun. And it was really hard to transfer because I loved my team and like I loved my friends. And it was like super hard decision to make because I was leaving like my best friends and like everything off the court was like the best. Like I loved everything about Utah and like it was just playing basketball. And I was like, well, that's what I'm here for. So if I'm not really having fun or like setting myself up for success for after college, then what am I doing?
Okay. So this was like a purely basketball on the court. I gotta, okay. That's fair. That makes sense. But then, so you played, so give me the timeline. So like you had COVID, and then the following year was like that crazy you played, but COVID year where everyone was kind of still COVID, right?
It was like games would get canceled like left, right. Honestly, my games didn't really get canceled. Like our team, I think we only had like one or two canceled games all season. So like
Really?
we stayed safe. Utah was doing it great. We were not getting COVID.
But then,
But
like
other
in the, there
teams.
was no one in the arena though, right? For those games, or were there in
Yeah,
yours?
no, there was no one. We would have like paper cutouts, cardboard cutouts with like fans in our family. So we had like our family faces. It was really funny. But yeah, no one. It was honestly like a practice. It was kind of weird. Like it just, the
Interesting.
games just felt like a practice.
For sure. There's nobody there. So then, okay. So then that, yeah. Then after that year, the NCAA, like whatever, changed the rules. So this is why at the start, when in there in your bio, I said you played your senior season times two, because you actually played 5 years, right? Is that correct?
Super senior.
Yeah. Super, yes, not super Saiyan, super senior. What, talk about that, because like you obviously you're in the Pac-10, right? Out west, and now you're
12, Pac
going
12.
Pac-12, sorry, and then you're going to Wake Forest, which is like on the other side of the country. Completely different like vibe. Why do you, what was like the draw to go out there? Was it again purely basketball in this sense as well?
Yeah, it was purely basketball mostly. I still wanted to be in like a Power Five conference. Like I want to stay at the same competition level. And then I wanted to go somewhere where like I knew I would be needed and like where I would have like a really good opportunity to kind of like come right in and play. And when I was coming to Wake, I know the year before they had a senior that was my position who had like graduated. So I knew that there was like opportunity there. So, and then when I got to talking with the coaches, I really liked kind of like what they were saying and like how it was going. And yeah, it was COVID, so I couldn't visit. Like going into transferring, I was like, okay, like when I came to Utah, I committed super fast. Like I didn't visit other places. And I was like, okay, I'm transferring, I'm taking my time, I'm visiting all these places, and then couldn't visit anywhere because of COVID. So I was like, well, now I just really have to like talk to the coaches and like make sure.
So you went there without actually visiting the campus or anything?
I didn't even see it. I saw videos and pictures because I made sure. I was like, please send me videos. But yeah, I know, because I was like, I really just want to visit and like get a feel, because I didn't have a lot of experience of like seeing other campuses and getting to know other teams before committing.
For sure, for sure. And then that's like kind of, correct me if I'm wrong, like Wake is much more of a what people think of American schools, right? Like, was it, where is it exactly?
It's in North Carolina. There's like
But
so
like,
many
what's
North Carolina
a town
schools.
though, right? Like, is it in a smaller town?
Winston-Salem. Yeah, it's called Winston-Salem. It's like an hour and a half away from Charlotte.
So I think that's the thing where it's like you were in the middle of a city, and then now you're going to like that, like a campus kind of vibe, right? In a small town, like the college town stuff.
It was definitely different because Wake is like a private school. It's a really small school. It was in like it's like a gated community. Like it's a really private school. It's a really prestigious school, like academically prestigious, but it was like so small. Which is good
Interesting.
because that's what they prided themselves on. They're like, we're small, private. Like, it was nice, but it was definitely different.
Interesting. So then what was your first, like your first, you step onto the campus because you're there for 2 full years. So like, how did it compare, I guess, compare and contrast it to like the being in the city in Utah, obviously West Coast, like what, like how was it?
I liked it just as much. It was really different though, because I remember I was getting driven into campus by the assistant coach, and it was like all forests and trees and green, which like I've never been to North Carolina, so I didn't know what to expect, but I didn't expect that. I was like, it's so pretty, like it's so foresty. And then we got to campus, it was like really nice. Like it's very like, I don't know how to describe it, but it was not, I wouldn't say like historic, but it was really nice, like nice buildings, nice campus, and it was really hot. I was not prepared. It was so humid. I never wanted to leave my room. It was so bad.
The South, in the South though, right? So
Because Utah is like the nice dry mountain air. And then I was like dying.
completely different. So then at what point, like like in your college career, collegiate career, or maybe what point in your basketball career did you actually say, hey, like, I want to play professionally? Like, is it, was that always kind of something in the back of your mind, or maybe just closer to the end of your career where like, actually, no, I really do.
It was like always, like, I feel like growing up, like I always knew, I just, in my head, I always say like, I just want to go as far as I can with basketball. But growing up, like I used to have this like picture, my dad printed it and put it in my closet. And it was like a flow chart of like all the levels. Like it started with LWCC community, and then it goes to like AU, and then high school, and then varsity, and then provincial team throughout, and then national teams, and then it goes to like Olympics, and then like pro. Like I just had that, and like every time I would make one of them, I would just check it off. So I feel like I always knew. I was like, I'm going to play pro after basketball.
Wow. Okay. So the seed was planted earlier. You had a chart in your closet. It's like you.
Yeah.
Wow. It's just there.
He knew what he was doing.
Yeah. Exactly. Shout out for that. Okay. So then. So you knew that you, and I guess this is partly why you said like, hey, I had to make a basketball decision in transferring, right? Like if you're trying to take it as far as you can, then like you obviously have to be playing and, you know, be utilized in a way that makes sense for you. Tell me a little bit about, you mentioned it obviously on that chart, you said, hey, like the, you know, like the national team was there, but in, you know, in your bio, it says that you've been playing some level, whether it be, you know, 17 cadet, like you've been having touch points for a long time with the national team. So I don't necessarily want you to rehash your, well, I have two questions. One, I want you to tell me about your first experience with the national team. And then after that, you can tell me what like your best memory is, but let's start with, your first experience. So like, how old are you? And like, what do you remember about it?
Okay. I do remember. I remember a lot more because like, it was like a new experience for like I was used to growing up being like really good or like being one of the best. And then like you go into like a new setting where like everyone's the best. So I was like, like the reality check.
Yeah.
But I remember my first camp, I think I was like, I want to say like 14. It was like, we would do like the East and West camps.
Yeah.
It was like so many of us girls. And I think it was just all of us in like a gym. And that was my first memory of national team. And we would have like the meetings, and that's where they like taught us that like 10 minutes early is on time.
Yeah.
And like all like the, how to be like professional, even like at 14 years old and playing at like a higher level than we were used to playing in like our own provinces. And then I think when I first made, so the first team I was on, I was an alternate. So I didn't make the team, but I was like the 13th, 14th person who would practice and then go home when they went to the competition. And I remember I got yelled at a lot. I remember that. That was traumatic.
Who was coaching the team? I gotta know. Do you remember?
I do remember. It was Carly. Carly Clark, who I love. She's a great coach. And I remember I was just, that was my first year. That's the first time I met her. And I was like traumatized because I would get yelled at. Like, I got yelled at like every day in practice. So I was like, okay, I need to like, I forget what I was getting yelled at for, but I just was like, okay, I need to like work on some things. I need to focus and, you know, be sharper, I guess, because I don't like getting yelled at. It was not a good feeling.
The stick.
But yeah.
So do you think that was partly because, again, you said this is kind of like your first experience playing at this higher level, and maybe you were missing a few, like, you know, like when you play around like certain talent levels all the time, you know, like maybe what you're not, you don't necessarily have the ability to do things, but you know what not to do, and typically or what to do to not get yelled at, at least, right? Like, do you think it was a bit of that where it's like, you're just like, I'm just so new to this. Like, I actually don't know what the heck I'm doing here.
Yeah, I think that. And also kind of everything was a lot sharper. So like, it was like, I mean, how I took it was like, you can't make a mistake. And that's probably it's probably the wrong way to look at it, especially like being so young. And that just like, that like made me just like freeze up and make more mistakes. Like, make one mistake, I'm gonna make like five more.
For sure.
Yeah.
So that was like, you're an alternate that year. And then what was your first time that you like cracked a roster?
I think Zaragoza, Spain. So that was U17, I want to say. And Yeah, that was the first time I was on the team. And yeah, I was still new. It was really great to make the team. I was really happy. But I think I was still in that kind of like bottom half of like the roster. So it was still a learning curve, like trying to be comfortable, playing kind of like the role that I had and learning at the same time. So definitely still a learning curve. And I don't remember a lot of it.
You don't remember being in Spain at least?
I do remember that because I remember, yeah, me and Letitia, we like were just having a great time.
There it goes with the friends again. I love it. What's so then and I think, correct me if I'm wrong, your most recent experience was when I saw you and Emily, or did you play after that as well?
Yeah, I played after that.
Okay.
So I played the U23 Global Jam after that.
Well, that was right after that, was it
Yeah,
not?
like 2 weeks after.
Yeah, okay.
I was like, I'm going home and I come back.
Okay. That was pretty cool though. It was cool to see both. Speaking of, you guys never got to play together at Utah, but you played together the national team. So that's pretty cool.
No, it's really great. And it's fun because yeah, I didn't know her at Utah at all, like heard of her obviously. And like I remember seeing her play in provincial team when I was too young. And then now we like played on the same team. We work out together in the summer and hang out. So it's cool.
Yeah, no, that's cool. That is cool. She's out in Australia this year. I think she's having a great time out
Yes.
there from everything I'm
Yes.
hearing and seeing. So, yeah. Okay, yeah, and then the one question I had is just like what's your most, I guess, your fondest memory, or the one that you do remember, but just about the national team, like just generally it could be a few different things, but I know like obviously you've played on a bunch of different teams kind of throughout the years, but do you have any, and it doesn't have to be on the court, just like generally with the national team, do you have any, you told us your worst memory of getting yelled at your first year, so you gotta tell us a good one.
I feel like I did really like this summer being with the senior women's national team. That was like my first kind of taste of like the senior level, and that was a really good experience. And I met a lot of like new players who have been like 2-3-time Olympians, and I feel like that was really fun to like play with them and like see where I was at with that like even higher level of competition. And then going straight from there to U23 with the Global Jam, I feel like that was it was really good and just like a good like I guess boost for my confidence. Like it was like going to play with like the Olympic team basically, and then going back to play with my age group was like it put me in a better headspace to like compete at the Global Jam. So I feel like those are my best memories.
Yeah, well, that's good. I mean, those are your most recent ones too. So it means that you're ascending. This is good. You're like,
Yes,
things are
I'm still having.
happening. Yes. And
Yes.
you're still having fun. You're still having fun. Always gonna have fun. I think that's gonna be like you're at the end of your career, that's gonna be like, so tell us about Nia Becker. It's be like she liked to have fun, she's really enjoyed people. That's literally gonna be what it's about. It won't even be like you'll have won things and it like and it is I'm half joking, but like you it's so cool. So there's sometimes people come to find things out, like they learn through experience, and then like, oh, like a lot of these coaches that I've talked about, or even myself, right? You're like, oh yeah, you realize when you're done or later on, like, oh yeah, all my best friends are from basketball, or like, some of the greatest people, most influential people in my life. But you, again, just being yourself completely, like you didn't have to learn it. It's just like your normal state. It's like, it is very, very cool, right? So like, yeah, you're doing things the right way, which is really cool.
Thanks.
Yeah, really, really cool. So you mentioned Emily, you mentioned off season, you mentioned training, you mentioned Coach Hines, aka Coach Sung, Michelle Sung. Again, I played with Michelle, so like, yeah, for me, I know the Hines as well. But what is your current like off season look like? So maybe I know when you're playing college, it was a little different, but just talk us about what it looks like with regards to like resting. Like, what do you come home? Do you train? What's your mindset? Like, what do you do when it's like, hey, I don't have basketball, like I get to chill. Like, what do you do?
Honestly, it's kind of it's been different every year. Like I've never really had like an off season because I've kind of usually like the summer is when the national team is, and So usually when I do have like a little time off, I do take a break because I don't I'm scared of the burnout. I don't want to like feel like I'm going and going. So like I always take a break and I don't know. I feel like a lot of like as athletes or maybe it's just me, but I feel like when I'm not doing something, I feel guilty that I'm not doing something. But like
Yeah,
I
it's
really
not
just
just
kind of
you.
yeah. That's good. But I really just try and focus and like not be like so worked up. Like rest is still working. It's just like taking care of your body. So maybe like a couple weeks. I don't know if that's like too much or not enough, but usually a couple weeks I've just like we'll just chill at home or like hang out with my friends. It's also like the only time I get to see like my friends from back home. So I try and cram most of that into the first couple weeks and then I'll start like lifting and then shooting and then playing pickup sometimes with, you know, U of M, UW, whatever teams are playing. But I like to do other sports too. I feel like the summer is for like beach volleyball.
I was
So I
gonna
love
say, what
beach
else do you
volleyball.
play? What do you play? You play a little beach
Volleyball.
volleyball?
Yes, I love volleyball. That was like aside from basketball and I guess track. I did track like kind of competitively in high school too, but track was more of like a serious sport for me because I did all the individual events, so it wasn't fun. Like I had no friends. But volleyball, I loved volleyball. So I always loved playing volleyball at home and spike ball, just like all the fun stuff. I love like still being active, but not having to like train super hard in the summer.
That's how you know it's very interesting. Like I've heard people talk about that where some of the best off seasons they've had when before they used to train and do all these hard stuff and they stopped playing their sport and then they did other stuff like volleyball and just like they were still active but they like got their body to do other things and the few people that I've talked to they say like it truly helped me become a better basketball player because like your body you know this with basketball like you're stuck in the same like movement patterns all the time. Like you're always doing this, you're doing this, you're doing this. And you kind of get like stuck. But then it's like, oh, you're playing volleyball or you're playing like spike ball or whatever it is you're doing. And it's like a complete, it's like you're almost, it's a little bit liberating in a sense. Like, oh, I'm just having a good time.
Yeah, it's just like carefree. And then like at the end you realize that you're like all sweaty and like you're tired. And you're like, oh, I worked out, but it was fun.
Yes, exactly. No, 100%, 100%. All right, Kate, we're getting to the close to the end here. I have a few more questions. Now, this might be challenging to you, Naya, because you said, hey, like all I remember is my friends. I don't remember all the details, but I'm going to ask you some specific questions here. And again, these answers do not have to be specifically basketball related. They can be like, I mean, on the court basketball related. So the first one that I ask here is, tell us your funniest basketball moment, story, or thought, or things that's happened throughout your career. Or it could be crazy too, like, you know, like you left teammates behind and or just whatever, like just stuff like that. Something that stands out.
Okay, this is hard because I don't remember. Like I really don't, and
I knew it'd be a hard question.
it is hard, and I thought about it because I listened to a past podcast, and I was like, he's gonna ask me this question, and I still couldn't come up with one. But I don't know, like oh, I don't know.
Okay, so I'll throw this in here too. Just
Okay.
how about this? How about your most memorable basketball story or moment? Something that stands out, like, you know, big moment, big win, or like last game, something like that. Anything.
I feel like big wins. I can remember like one from each school in university. Utah, I think my freshman year, we beat Stanford at home, and that was like a big deal. I know like now they like they're really good now, and they like beat Stanford like all the time, or they beat a lot of good teams. But when I was there, I was a freshman, and I had like as much as I'm carefree now, like I was a freshman, I had zero cares because like we were good and we got really good. And I just feel like I relied so heavily on the seniors. And they were like, we had a good senior class and like they were really good leaders that like I never had a doubt. Like I was like, oh, we're gonna win. We're gonna play so good. Like I didn't have to think about a
You have to
lot.
do anything. You're just
So
like, let's just,
I didn't do anything.
no responsibility.
But
Just
we
show
beat.
up.
Yeah, really. And we beat Stanford at home. And I remember that was so fun. And I remember I was on the bench and I was watching in like the last couple minutes, or last couple seconds, kind of like sealing the win. Our point guard, Drew Gilton, who's like the best point guard I've ever played with still to this day. She was like, I don't know how she got the ball, but she got the ball and then she was dribbling up the court, but she was dribbling up the court with like the wrong hand. Like, you know, if you're on the left side, outside hand,
You're
she
doing
was
like
like on, she was on the left side dribbling with her right
the
hand going diagonal. And it was so funny. And I remember that. That was a great moment. And then
Nice.
at Wake, I think it was just this past year. Yeah, just this past year, I think in the ACC tournament, we were down. We were playing Florida State and it was the second round and we were down. And like usually, not usually, in the past couple of years, I think we had like always lost in the second round and we were down by like 20. And it was not looking good. And then, like, all of a sudden, we like went on like a 20 something and oh run. And like, we
No
ended
way.
up winning. Yeah, we ended up winning. And it was like so exciting. Like, just everything that was happening was like momentum, momentum,
Yeah.
momentum. And I remember that was a really fun win, too, because we're all like, oh no, we're down a lot. And it was like the second half. I think we came back 20 something points in the second half of the game.
No way.
Yeah, so that was a really good moment. Yeah, I feel like those were the I can't remember the funny moments because I think everything's funny, honestly.
I know, as I was
It
gonna
was
say,
so funny.
you're happy go lucky, so it's not like, yeah, you're
Yeah.
having like every moment you're having like a good time or whatever.
Mostly.
Mostly. So okay, well, we're gonna wrap up on that, except for one last question. As you probably know if you listened, I like to end with some advice.
I
So
do. Okay.
you get to, this is the way I like to frame the question. It's you know what, you're standing, you're back in Manitoba, provincial team. Your dad or Adam, or whoever the coach is, one of the team said, hey, can you come speak and just, talk to the players and tell, and then, tell them about your experience and try to pass on some of the knowledge. And you essentially want them to walk out of there with something that, 'cause you can talk for like 30 minutes or an hour. Like no one's going to remember all that stuff. Typically you remember like one or two things max, right? Like, oh yeah, I
Yeah.
remember nice. She said that one thing, right? Or that story she told was really awesome. So, what would be the piece of advice that you would give to those players, those provincial team players that you'd want them to remember about basketball and about, having success in the game and experiencing basketball in their life?
Okay. Yeah, I have this one prepared.
You're like, okay, hold on, let me get my notes.
No, I would say not to be like outcome driven. And I feel like when I was younger, I put a lot of pressure on myself and like how good I played. Like, what was it going to look like after the game instead of kind of like being in the moment and giving like the effort? Because I mean, it's normal to make mistakes. Like, it's hard to go 100% from the field, and it's also hard to go 0% from the field. Like, you're gonna like make some, miss some, like turnovers, whatever. And I would just say, like, don't be focused on kind of like what it's gonna look like at the end, more just kind of like focus on how you're doing, like in the moment, like how hard you're playing, or like how like good of a teammate you are instead of the outcomes.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Just being, yeah, being in the moment and being in the experience, instead of worrying about, yeah, the stat sheet after or what people are going to think or any of that stuff.
Yeah.
That's good advice. That's good advice. You
Thanks.
said, is that something that you said you struggled with earlier on in
Yeah.
your career?
I've always just struggled with like kind of like living up or playing to like what was expected of me or like to my potential. And like when I would fall short, it would like really disappoint me and like kind of like bug me. But it only made it worse the like more I focused on it.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. No, that's great advice. That is absolutely real advice right there. So I appreciate it.
Thanks.
Okay, well, that is it. We're gonna let you hopefully go to sleep soon. I know you said you have a game this weekend, and it's 2 p.m. for me, so it must be what, like close to 10 p.m. for you?
It's like, yeah, 9:15. It's not
Nine.
bad.
Okay, that's not that bad. Okay, what am I talking about over here? I'm just an old man. So no, honestly though, it's been really nice to just watch your career from afar. Like obviously I wasn't there step by step, but everyone in Manitoba, obviously I always shout out Adam and Basketball Manitoba for doing such a good job of promoting and like making sure that we know what our Manitoba, athletes are doing. And so like, obviously you're, we always knew where you were, what you were doing, when you're playing somewhere. And so it's been really cool to watch you, grow up and just be where you're at now. And so, I wish you good luck, and it was really cool to connect with you on the pod.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. Please like, subscribe, follow, and share this series, and reach out to us with your comments on the show. Thanks again for joining us.